and welcome to Everybody A, Everybody Gay. Merry Christmas, bitches.
Tonight, our queer exploration, part two of How the A Stole Christmas, the one and only PLL Winter Christmas Spectacular.
With your hosts, Speak Pirate, a.k.a. Joanna. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer, who I do sometimes dress up in Christmas festive wear.
And your other host, LCO123, a.k.a. Vina, read my boobs, I love Christmas. I do actually love Christmas.
Oh my gosh. So we have already talked about this episode one time, but it was like a long time ago. It was like in the early, early days of our podcast. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, hey, let's, you know, maybe that would be kind of fun to revisit now. And what a choice. What a choice that was. We were saying before we started recording tonight, like, you would truly think that after I had like watched multiple times and like had in-depth discussions about all 160 episodes of PLL, you would think that it would not be like surprising to me in any way to go back and revisit an episode, but there definitely were. I was shocked by how many plot lines there were going on simultaneously in like not only within this episode, but even within like particular scenes of the episode where there are just multiple balls like flinging up in the air.
Literally, you know, multiple ice balls happening. this is the last of the PLL holiday episodes. And I would say one of the less successful outings for the very reason that you mentioned. You know, I think what makes like the first Secret or the Halloween Train episode so fun is that even though we have like the overall A mystery, they're kind of self-contained episodes. And yes, this episode is trying to like further all of the storylines while also being a Christmas saga. I think it needed to go more Christmas, less plot. Like, I think, and I'm sure we talked about this at the time, but like, I think that if this episode had gone full like Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life or How the Grinch Stole Christmas and like kind of had Allison in, you know, maybe the George Bailey role or something like that, like, I think that would have been so fun. But I have a feeling that because they had just killed off Mona, they felt like they needed to like jump right in. I also think like a missed opportunity is like leaning into the Vander Jesus of it all.
Yes!
The Jesus who died for our sins. So I don't know. This is not going to be like our sort of classic PLL, like super in-depth every scene we're going to talk about kind of thing. We've already done that with this episode, but we're going to talk about just some overall themes and reflections and like what the hell is happening.
So like just to like run down the plot lines that are happening,
yeah,
in this episode. So Mona is believed to be dead. Hannah is grieving. Spencer is out on bail because the police think she murdered Bethany Young, which like, you know, a corpse on top of a corpse. Like Mona just got murdered, but Spencer was arrested for maybe murdering Bethany Young. Hannah gets a certified in case of my demise letter from Mona with like a bunch of maps that makes the liars launch an overly complicated plan to search Allison's house. Toby is wheelchair bound because he was hit by a car and he is insisting on a gesture for the holidays. Allison is holding the ice ball. The liars think she's A, and oh yes, she's being visited by various gay ghosts, including her mom, her memories, and a hella queer goth phantom drag queen Mona. Hannah and Caleb are elves, and Hannah is giving a mean child what for in a plot line that has like no other connection to anything. Paige and Emily are singing at a nursing home and having various confrontations with Sydney, Jenna, Paige's parents, who want her to go to California. Ari is also there to pass out cookies and deal with poor little rich predator and to encourage Paley to kiss under the mistletoe. And then Paige is wearing a white suit. Allie is kissing Holbrook, and also Cece is back. So that's just like a quick rundown of the like 1500 plot lines that are happening simultaneously here.
Yeah, yeah. We also have Lucas as creepy Santa Claus.
Yes.
We have Cece having like made some weird perfume for Allison that I feel like probably smells bad. We have the reveal that Fitz got two ponies for Christmas, but he only asked for one. And then, of course, he has to, like, magnanimously distribute Christmas chicken. Just the way he says that, I want to punch him in the face. We, of course, have, unfortunately, seared into our brains, immortalized, one of the most disturbing images in all of Pretty Little Liars, which is the weird standing around in our underwear with our English teacher that I assume culminates in an orgy that we just don't see on screen. It's very weird. Yes, Hannah dressing down the child, calling a child a bitch and then threatening her murder, which honestly is a great look for Hannah. Yeah, and this is just, it's a wild ride. I think a problem with this episode, in comparison to previous holiday episodes, is that like PLL and Halloween, it's like chocolate and peanut butter. That's a natural match, right? Because PLL is a little spooky, little dealing with ghosts and murders and all of those things. And, you know, Halloween is kind of those same themes. Christmas, it's not so much. It's a little too earnest. And I feel like they could have gone a little bit darker with some of the Christmas themes, but they want to keep it kind of light. One of my observations after watching this is like PLL struggles with sentimentality, I think, largely because like in a lot of these big group scenes, it'll be a thing of like Emily saying we're all a family here together. And then there's like the English teacher that Spencer accused of being A and also has been like statutory raping Aria for like 3 years. So it's, I don't know, what's your thought on like PLL and sentimentality?
I think you're right. I think that the show struggles with it, but I also think that they had, like, you can kind of see like the pencil sketch of an idea where they were trying to do like, you know, Allison being confronted by like the ghosts of like Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas future. But like they didn't like dig deep enough on that. Like shocking that they were lazy about it.
Yeah.
And they like this is, I think, a really early example of the show not knowing what to do with Allison, like really having no good ideas there. Because like she's, you know, she's always a little bit of a Rorschach, but like now this is, you know, this is the era where they really are struggling with Allison being back and like what to do and how that impacts other people. But like, yeah, I think they could have gone harder on that. I think if they had like centered Allison more in this episode and had the other liars go more into like background characters or like have them exist just in flashbacks or just in like visions that Allison has, I think it would have been a lot more successful. And doing it that way, I think also would have like solved the problem of them wanting to place it like more firmly in continuity, because the last thing that happened was Mona's murder.
I agree. I think, I mean, I kind of talked about this before, but like in It's a Wonderful Lifestyle episode where Allison is George Bailey and we're witnessing like the other liars' lives without Allison, and it maybe ends on like a kind of complicated note of like in some ways their lives would be better, but in other ways their lives would be a lot worse. Like, I think that's a pretty solid outline for an episode, and like I think there's a lot you could play with there, and you could, you know, bring in all the other characters. And it is kind of funny that for all that PLL, you know, would do something like shadow play or like the first secret, like they never really fully went like alternative universe. And I think that that really would have been a natural place to take this particular episode. It's also a way, because, like, It's a Wonderful Life looked through another lens as, like, a little bit of a horror movie. And so it's also a way of, like, making Christmas kind of creepy and scary.
Okay, so if you were creating that episode, what are some of the things that would have happened in the liars' lives if Allison had not existed? Would the four of them be friends with one another?
I think that what would be really interesting would be a thing of they're, like, almost friends. Like, they're kind of ships passing in the night a little bit. But there's they don't quite have that tether that Allison provides. And are probably all a bit more isolated. Like, I think, you know, maybe Spencer falls more into her drug addiction, and maybe, you know, Aria is sort of still kind of codependently keeping her father's secret. And
I totally think that Aria's parents would still be married, and she would be like, she would be basically like running around putting out fires all the time for her dad. That's what I think that her life would probably, and I think she'd maybe be dating Noel Kahn.
I like that. What do you think about Spencer? Do you think
I am very interested in the idea that she would have, like, fallen more and potentially harder into the drug addiction. I think that is really interesting. I could see that. I definitely don't think that Toby would be in the picture. So that would be to the good for sure. I think she would be, like, seeming really perfect, but, like, secretly be having all these drug issues. I am gonna say that I would really like one of the following two things to be the case in the world where Allison doesn't exist. And one of them is that Hannah and Mona are dating.
Love it.
But if the show wouldn't give us that, I would also settle for Emily is dating Jenna.
Oh, sure, because she wanted to taste her cherry chapstick.
Yeah.
Which, now that I think about that, what a weird line to give Allison, because that's not even a Lady Gaga reference. Or I'm sorry, Lady G. I like that. Is very interesting. I like that a lot. It's a real, like, domino effect thing, and I think would have given us something that, like, the later seasons were unfortunately less interested in, which is, like, more of a character study than just something solely plot driven.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, but that's not, we got to dance with the one who brought us. That's not the episode we have here. This episode has some homages. It has a Christmas Carol homage, which I think it's interesting because it's not like Allison goes through a full transformation in this episode, but she's sort of thinking about, like, what have I done? How are my actions going to kind of haunt me? This also feels like the first time that we're kind of getting the glimpse of, like, Allison being religious and kind of turning to God and sort of searching for forgiveness in a way.
I agree with that. I like, they definitely are kind of doing, like, you know, the episode ends with Allison kind of like the beggar at the feast, like looking in at all her friends who are having such a good time with their Christmas chicken. And there she is out in the cold. While everyone else probably, like, gets poisoned. But yeah, yes, it's true that Allison, like, seems to be having some remorse. She seems to be dealing with a lot of feelings of guilt. But the thing that I think is, like, totally wild about this episode is that we are supposed to see Allison as, like, haunted. Like, she is tortured by this, like, ghostly gay presence of Mona, who keeps, like, you know, like, entering her dreams and, like, torturing her with, like, visions of her mom and, like, her own self in her casket, and like da da da. But at the same time, she is holding the Ice Ball, one of the weirdest charity events ever thrown in Rosewood, and she is like at one point, Jenna and Sydney say that they have like come to be Allison's like backup walkers at the ball, specifically because they're doing what they need to survive, implying that they are afraid that if they refused to wear fancy dresses and walk down a staircase behind Allison, that she would literally murder them. So Allison is on one hand too haunted to like function, but on the other hand is able to like, you know, blackmail these girls under fear of actual death into like being her like gorgeously masked backup posse for this giant charity event that she appears to be single-handedly throwing.
Yeah. Yes. It's always really weird when they cut back to the Allison Mona scenes. Like, it feels very disjointed because you're like, oh, wait, are we doing this? Is this what we're doing? And then they go ahead.
Even so, like, if she's gonna be haunted by Mona, like, wouldn't it be so much more interesting if, like, she thought she saw Mona's ghost and tripped down that grand staircase? Like, or, you know,
yeah.
Like, if anything, yeah, it's very strange. Mona only haunts her when Allison is alone.
I do like Allison in bed screaming Mona's name, though. That's quite fun. Yeah, sure. It's, they seem to kind of, this is part of what you're saying. They don't know what to do with Allison. They don't know how menacing they want Allison to be. They don't know how, like, scared they want the liars to be of Allison. There's, like, this is also at that time when they're starting to do all the stuff about, like, army, Mona's army, and Allison's army, and Allison's building an army. And I'm like, okay. First of all, we're talking about an army of high school students. Second of all, like, what does that even mean in this context? Like, just, like, people like Cindy and Mindy who will, like, you know, if somebody says something mean about Allison, they'll run up and be like, no, no, you're wrong, Mr. Like, I just don't know what that means in the context of the show. And I think it starts to feel like, you know, like the twin stuff or like so many of the other mysteries where like it stops meaning anything because they just keep saying it and not explaining it.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. And it's also just not terribly interesting because like we don't really care about Cindy and Mindy. Like we do care about Jenna, but like the whole thing with Jenna, which feels like it should be more tied in with Shauna, but like Shauna's not around here. Like,
yeah, she's like one of the only people who's not in this episode.
Wait, is she dead yet? I think she is because she dies at the end of season 4.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
How does the army stuff land for you?
I agree. I think it's just sort of meaningless. It's just something that they kind of keep invoking without like any follow through on it. And also like all of the capers that are going on, like there are a lot of different capers that are happening in the context of this ice ball. And like none of them are very good or successful. Like is the whole point of Cindy and Mindy being in Allison's army, is it so that like there can be like these decoys to move around the party and have the liars chase after? Like it's just not, it doesn't even really make any sense.
No, it does. Well, and also like they get their hair dyed brown and then their hair is like blonde later.
Yes, correct.
Sure.
Because what's better than a hat on a hat, but a wig on a wig?
But a wig on a wig. Well, it's also so funny that they're trying to do all this like espionage and everybody's wearing the sparkliest dresses imaginable. Always fun when Emily and Arya are the lookout because they're both terrible at it and they both lose Allison immediately. They had one job.
Yes, Allison's incredible evasive maneuver of walking openly. Like, first of all, Arya, when she is watching Allison, she sees Allison kissing Santa Claus, who like later we're gonna know is Holbrook. And instead of watching to see Santa Claus turn around and confirm who it is, Arya runs over to get Emily to have her also look. And by the time they get back, Santa is like, Arya is not very good at lookout duty, as we all know. And yet it is duty that is so frequently assigned to her.
Yeah, yeah, she's not good at it. Emily is not good at it. It's also probably hard to move around in these dresses. Like, they all just should have worn suits like Paige.
Well, okay, yes, agreed. Also, Allison loses everyone by, like, openly going into the maze. If your job is to keep an eye on Allison, why wouldn't one of the many people that the Liars have stationed here follow Allison into said maze?
Good question, because Allison needs a moment with Cece.
Well,
and it is nice to see Cece back with some very dramatic eye makeup. At this point, you can definitely tell, like, the Allison sibling idea is in the air. I don't know if they've decided yet that it's Cece/Charlotte. But we have the weird flashback with Mrs. De Laurentiis. What I found really interesting is I'm sure that the whole Mary Drake idea had not happened yet. But it really does feel like Andrea Parker is, like, leaning into the Mary Drake performance in certain moments. And then in other moments, she's, like, very definitively Jessica. Like, when she says, you know, you only saw one dress. You saw one dress. Just expert gaslighting by Jessica De Laurentiis.
Well, I really think that it's funny watching it, like, having now, like, been through the whole series. Like, we can watch this and be like, oh, well, what if this was Mary Drake and Mona, who we know is not actually dead? Like, what if they were really there and just doing, like, a prelude to the Wilden coconut mask stuff of the later seasons?
I would definitely believe it.
But, okay, so let's talk about what kind of event is the Ice Ball. I have many questions.
Okay.
So it is a charity event. We know that because several people talk about how they are giving back by attending, I guess, the Ice Ball.
Sure.
What charity do we imagine that the Ice Ball is raising funds for?
Maybe it's raising funds so that they can have more candy stripers at the hospital.
Okay. I like that.
Allie's like, I want to get more girls in short skirts for no reason.
Okay. We'll definitely take that. So to like recap what's happening at this party, some people are in masks and yes. Some people are not. Some people are like wearing sort of like powdered wigs and also face paint is happening. It appears to be no temperature because we have like a Santa's helper is like a woman dressed like a very, very short skirted reindeer, whereas yep. Cece is wearing like a heavy like floor length fur cape. So yep. there is no temperature in this particular place. There's a winter maze with like mirrors and stuff that Allison goes into. You can take pictures with a fake Santa that is Lucas. Side note, how did Lucas get this gig? How did Lucas get the job of being Santa? He's like not old. He's not rotund. He's not notably jolly.
Well, also, if this is like an ice ball that Allison put together and Allison is like anti-Lucas, being Santa seems like kind of a role. And then, like, it doesn't seem terribly necessary for Lucas to be Santa. Like, we just have it for that one creepy moment when Spencer sits on his lap. Yuck. Like, she's just being very polite and ignoring the boner that's digging into her hip that whole scene. But like
maybe the ice ball didn't plan on having Lucas. Maybe he like brought a chair and that costume was like, come here, little girl.
I'm here. Santa, And Hannah, come sit on Santa's lap. Oh, God. Yeah, it does not seem terribly necessary. I also feel that Lucas is kind of a Jewish-coded character as well. Oh. So I think that like adds another layer of weirdness.
The ice ball also has like stairs down from a second level that doesn't otherwise exist, except that Allie needed something to waltz down. There are like mannequins posed in like Grecian Frozen style. There's an indoor gazebo. There are fake bridges. And in addition to all of that, who has a fancy charity ball on actual Christmas Eve? Like, do none of these people have last minute presents to wrap? Like, do none of these people have like family crap that they are absolutely obligated to go to at this time?
Well, it's also, having watched the rest of the series, like, this is clearly the exact same set that they had for the prom scene at the end of season 6. Season 6. And it's just very fun. Like, Allison entering to fight song, which, like, really plants you firmly in the year that this episode came out. There seem to be no adults at this party, and it seems that all of the Liars' parents are out of town per the usual
on Christmas Eve,
and that, like, the idea is that all of the Liars, I feel like there may have been a dropped line about, like, we convinced our parents to let us stay and then we're all gonna drive to meet them or something, because
that definitely seems like it was at least Emily's plan.
But we don't really know. And it is very funny. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But when they realize that they've been snowed in and, like, Emily's really disappointed and they're all just like, sorry, Emily, like, our parents suck. So we're not really sad about not spending Christmas with them. But we know you were looking forward to spending Christmas with your parents.
Well, OK, so also with this ice ball, the weather is so bad that no one can get into or out of town, like, blizzard conditions.
Yes.
And yet attendance at the ice ball itself is unimpeded. Bad road conditions have not impacted anyone's ability to be at the ice ball in this abandoned warehouse or department store or possibly fancy hotel where the ice ball is taking place.
Yeah, it seems the blizzard really hits last minute. And that's, I mean, I think another issue with this episode is, like, it's multiple episodes stitched together. And, like, I think a Liars snowed in episode would actually be very fun. But that's, like, the last 10 minutes of this episode plus creepy orgy vibes. The plans are not very clear. I do love, of course, that we get a Spanna team up at Allison's house. That is very, very fun. Hannah seemingly, she just gets, like, knocked down by A, and Spencer has to go save her and, like, caress her face a lot. And I mean, and, like, she really should give her mouth to mouth.
I knew that was something you're gonna have on your radar 100%.
Yeah, well, it's very sweet. Spencer just, she has to comfort her. And Hannah's been through an ordeal.
She totally has.
Toby's okay. Like, uselessly trying to flash his camera.
I have no idea. Like, he seems to be their lookout at the house, and yet they seem to have worked out no signals with him whatsoever for, like, what he should do if he sees something unusual. Also, not to be rude about this, but, like, Toby, he can only keep an eye on one side of the house because he is in this wheelchair positioned in Spencer's house. So, like, what if they are on the other side of the house, or A is on the other side of the De Laurentiis house? Like, this does not seem like a terribly great plan.
Also, Jimmy Stewart, you are not Toby.
100,000%.
I actually did have this question of, if they were going to do a more direct, like, Rear Window homage, what would you want that episode to be?
Oh, that's such an interesting. Well, okay, first of all, I would not make it a Christmas episode.
No. Well, as Kelsey pointed out, Rear Window, a movie that like famously takes place in a heat wave. Like it takes place at like the height of summer.
Yes. I mean, and I do think that like the De Laurentiis house being right next to Spencer's house, like I do think that there's, you know, there's some potential there. And of course, like PLL at its best is all about like, you know, people being observed when maybe they don't know that they're being observed and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think that there's like some interesting potential for it. But again, I think that the bad choice that it makes is having Toby be in that position. You know, I think it would have been much more interesting, like if when Hannah was in the wheelchair, if they had done like Hannah and Mona doing some Rear Window stuff, like I think that could be really interesting. Just having it be one of the liars instead of one of the boyfriends, I think would make it a lot more solid.
Yeah, and like you said, having some codes worked out, I think would help immensely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and then if they were going to do more of like a Christmas Carol sort of riff, what do you think that could be?
Ooh, well, so with what they're doing here, and you see like, you know, the past with Allison and like her mom teaching her how to lie, like, I think that's pretty interesting as like a Ghost of Christmas Past moment. But I also think, I just think they should have involved the liars more in these, like Allison is just so, like Haunted Allison is so segmented from them in this episode that I think that I think that it kind of like falls under its own weight a little bit. I think if they had made all of it a little more liar centric, I think I would have liked that more. But what you were saying before about like, do they know that like, you know, they know there's a sibling. Do they know that it's Cece? I think this is the episode where, yes, they do know that the sibling is going to be Cece. I don't think that they know that they're going to, I don't think they know how they're going to get there yet.
Yeah.
But I do think that in this episode where we have two yellow dresses and a big secret, and then Cece is back after forever, I do think that this is an episode where it's like, oh, hello, Cece Drake Laurentiis. How are you?
Yeah.
And I think that it was actually probably like, it might even be that what happened was that this episode made it so obvious that then they were like, oh, we've got to throw some more mud into the, you know, into the water.
Well, it's interesting because I was like watching this and, you know, the scene when Cece's made her the magic potion and they sort of smile at each other and all of that. And I was like, man, I'd almost like this more, like, scrap the whole family thing. Like, that just got so, like, convoluted and terrible. Like, just have it be that Cece and Allie are in love with each other. Like, that's...
I would be here for that. I would... Well, you know, there's the moment when Arya reports that she saw Allison kissing Santa Claus, and Emily says, who was it? Was it a guy or a girl? I'm always like, Emily, who do you think... What girl do you think that Allison is smacking on? And I do feel like Cece would be like a number one choice for who Emily thinks Allison might be making out.
Well, it would be a good reveal, like reversal of expectations, right? Because especially instead of where you think it's Holbrook and then it's actually Cece.
Yeah.
You know, or even like if there was maybe a moment where Allison says to one of the liars, says to Arya or something, or Emily, like, tell them that I'm kissing a boy. Like, don't, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know mm-hmm. there's room for something there. Holbrook, like, I do find the, like, Holbrook just, like, losing his entire life over his infatuation with Allison. Like, he was a well-regarded, like, he wasn't an FBI agent, but
he was with, like, the state police or something. He wasn't just...
He wasn't just a local
Rosewood person, no.
Yeah, he was, like, well-regarded and all of that. And I do think him just, like, throwing his life away for Allison De Laurentiis and kind of being just, like, snarky alcoholic Santa, like, that is very fun.
He's wearing, like, a white undershirt, like a Santa jacket. It's It's something.
It's something. Yeah, that's the power of Alison De Laurentiis. She's a woman you'll throw your life away for.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, where do we imagine that all of parents are? I personally am hoping that all of the wine moms are, like, getting drunk on a topless beach somewhere, like, in Tahiti. That is my hope for the moms.
I like that. I like that. I mean, I think Byron is, like, you know, he's, like, in Switzerland, like, trying to grow a beard and, like changing his name and calling himself a poet. And he's like, this is the only way I feel alive, you know.
I think that Byron and Peter are basically, remember the Mad Men episode where Don and Lane celebrate New Year's Eve together by like getting hookers in Don's like sad post-divorce apartment? I think that's basically what doing. Byron and Peter are up to. Yeah.
I could see that. I could see that.
And Kenneth, I imagine that he's out like evicting some orphans from
shelter. He's probably evicting some orphans. He might be at like an NRA rally or something.
Oh, sure.
I could see that. I could see that. Wayne, I think Wayne's just being a family man. Wayne's with mm-hmm. Pam, you know. Just, you know, trying to not make his heart explode. And Hannah's dad, he's probably, I don't know, snorting coke off of somebody's stomach.
He's probably off with like his third or fourth secret family that he has.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just like more and more kids, just mm-hmm. all of them. Yeah. Going back for a second to the ice ball, everybody's outfits are so bad and their hair and makeup are so bad. Like, I did not remember that. I remembered everybody looking kind of good, but like, I don't like the way anyone is dressed in this episode. Except maybe Paige. I like Paige's suit.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Every time Paige is in a suit, that's always a winner. I mean, I would say that these are not like among the best looks of the liars, but I also feel like it is like if you were mapping out like highs and lows of the liars' fashions, the last big fashion episode that we had before this was probably, well, no, I guess like Shadow Play has a lot of like old timey fashion, but I was gonna say was probably like the taking this one to the the World War A
era, sure,
when everyone was wearing like the weird Victorian type fashions, and that was terrible. So the ice ball is comparatively, I think, a pretty good fashion moment for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can see that. It's a low bar.
It is a low bar, but I'm actually, you know what? You've got me actually like taking up for the fashions of the ice ball, because I think that the World War A fashions were much worse than this. And I also think that the prom fashions that they're going to have at actual prom are so much more unflattering than this, that I actually feel like if you consider it on like the curve of the liar fashions, I actually think the ice ball is pretty good.
Okay. I'll give you that. I will say I like Spencer's dress. I think it's the least offensive. I also think, not to bring the vibe down, but we should acknowledge, like, knowing now what we know about Lindsay Shaw and what she was going through, like, this is clearly the time when she was going through a lot and being, like, written off the show. And I just, like, I'm glad that she, you know, it sounds like she got the help that she needed. You can kind of tell that she's going through it at this time. And, you know, probably being on a rigorous show like this was, like, not what was best for her at that moment in time. So, yeah, it's just, it's weird to have the experience of watching this and being like, oh, we're kind of, like, watching someone's downfall in real time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it is, like, interesting to have that context as we see this episode, and especially like how it informs our feelings about like the seeming suddenness of Paige's departure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this was probably not anybody's like first choice. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
what, like, in general, the Paige and Emily stuff in this episode, what do you make of it?
Oh, I wish there were more of it, as always. I feel like, you know, they kind of get, like, the least screen time of any of the couples, like, which is, you know, again, kind of par for the course for them. But I am, like, although the everybody having this, like, happy and like, old-timey holiday together that we get at the end, like, you know, sentimental Christmas music is playing and, like, fires are crackling and, like, they've, you know, they've managed to make this, like, elaborate holiday meal and people, you know, everyone are, they're all watching, like, black and white Christmas movies and drinking cocoa and toasting with champagne, like, you know, so this, like, kind of fantasy of the happy holiday thing, we don't get a ton of moments in the series where the liars actually get to be happy and where they get to be happy together. And really, like, the reason, the only reason we get it here is so we can see the liars being so happy and it can make Allison feel like an even bigger piece of shit because she doesn't get to be in there being happy with them. But I, whatever, we do get to have a moment of, like, liar collective happiness that they're feeling here. And I'm glad that Paige and Emily get to have that. I'm glad that they get to have that be, like, a part of their kind of final story.
I am glad about that, too. I will say that, like, and I'm sure this was mostly an editing thing, but the part when like, Paige has just said to Emily, like, I have to move away, you know, I'm, like, basically we're gonna be apart from each other, and like 2 seconds later Emily is like, to this family may we never be parted, like, okay Emily, that comes across as like a little insensitive,
a little tone deaf from Emily Fields, but yeah, well, I mean, maybe Emily knows herself well enough to be like, oh hey, you going away might make me way more interested. But of course, that's not going to be the way it goes this time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. The underwear scene.
Ugh.
Any further thoughts? Any further reflections? Do they have an orgy?
I mean, yeah, probably. I feel like the thing about Paige's character is that, like, the liars all live these lives of, like, kind of hyper-regionalized reality. And Paige is, like, in contrast to, like, a lot of the other people and a lot of the other plot lines on the show, like, I think you could definitely argue that Paige, like, is probably the most realistic teenager on the show. Like, she lives a life that is, like, the most rooted in reality. And so I really feel like having Paige just have this experience of, like, okay, here I am in these Santa boxers on the stairs with all these. And also, like, how did they all get the Santa boxers? Like, how did Toby or whoever know that they were all going to be snowed in together and, like, have this at the ready? I don't know.
It brings up more questions than it answers. I'll say that. It's also, like, I'm assuming it was Prezra's idea. Although Toby is the one who's, like, all about the gesture. So maybe it was Toby's idea.
I've always kind of assumed that it was Toby's idea, but...
But, like, Prezra's a little too into it.
Oh, yes. He's very into it.
I think that probably Caleb and Paige put up the most of the fight. It's also very funny that there's that moment later where Caleb, who has the terrible hair of this Caleb era, like, Hannah at one point is like, Mona should be here, you know, and Hannah is so much the grieving widow in this episode and very, very sweet. And Caleb just says nothing. And we know that, like, Caleb's like, oh, she's fucking dead. And I love it, you know.
But he actually gives her the Christmas present of not saying something shitty about Mona this one time.
That is his Christmas present to her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, but I do wish that we swapped out Prezra and had Mona even if it was like goth ghost Mona posing on the stairs in her, you know, boxers.
You know, I was saying to Kelsey that, like, I was kind of bummed watching this episode that PLL, like, doesn't have kind of the like, place in, like, camp culture, pop culture that, like, a Buffy or a Riverdale does. Because I feel like drag queens doing, like, their impression of Mona, like, wake up, it's Christmas. Like, that would be so fun, you know? Because she's doing a drag queen performance here.
She, oh my goodness, she is. She's having a great time. I love the energy that she's bringing to this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So talking about, like, the gesture, the staircase. So the first kind of thing that we see here is that Spencer, who has, like, recently been arrested, she does not really want to do Christmas. And Toby has agreed that he's okay with not exchanging presents as long as they get to surprise each other with a gesture. So that is a thing that we learn about Toby and how he feels about Spencer's Christmas boundary. Yep. And then we also learn that Prezra, Arya wanted it to just be low key, and Prezra gets her a bunch of fancy jewelry and a ball gown, which he gives to her while they are at this nursing home cookie sing-along situation.
Yes.
And then, of course, we also do have, like, Paige, who's kind of, like, having this, like, happy Christmas while, like, not revealing until kind of the end to Emily that she's going to be moving away. How do we feel about, like, who is the most or respectful or disrespectful of their partners?
Oh, man. I think Caleb might win by default. Honestly.
Yes, I agree.
He's just, like, not... He's just not a huge presence in this episode. And he's, like, not, like, actively sabotaging Hannah's plans. Like, he's just kind of staying out of the way. So I think for that, we kind of have to give it to him. What, would you agree with that?
I do. I don't think there's another case there.
Yeah. I think we'd have to go with him.
Okay, so why are Hannah and Spencer doing the search of Allie's home in their party dresses? There's no plan for them to, like, go back to the ball afterwards. This is very Thornhill Lodge. Why are you going through this next espionage type step in your fancy ball gown?
Well, because, you know, clearly this is, like, the beginning of them being on a date together, and it just, like, this is Spencer's love language. Espionage is Spencer's love language.
I mean, 100%. But, like, also, why did they go to the ice ball full stop? Like, wouldn't it make more sense to all gather at Spencer's, wait for Allie to leave, and then have everyone either search or be lookouts for if she's coming back?
That would make more sense. But this episode is trying to do a lot of things all at once.
I had, you know what happened to me? Like, it's been a while since I watched a PLL episode now, so I had my, like, reality distortion glasses on. I was like, but wait, why are they doing it this way? I was not able to be as in the flow of, like, oh, just because that's how shit happens here.
Because we're in Rosewood.
Okay, so what do we think of the predator moment where Holbrook gives the nod to Prezra picking out Arya's dress?
Yeah, that's a moment, isn't it? Like, there's a whole other story about, like, the predator meetups that Prezra hosts. Maybe actually Byron hosts them, and Prezra's kind of, like, the co-chair. And I think that Holbrook is a card-carrying member.
100%.
Because isn't there a line, I can't remember if it's in this episode or in the episode that, like, the episode before this episode, but isn't there some line that Holbrook has about to Arya of, like, Fitz sure got lucky with you, or, like, there's something that Holbrook says at one point that basically implies, like, oh, like, Fitz did right scooping you up, little lady.
Oh, that's That's funny. I don't remember him having a ton of interaction with Arya. I always just remember his interactions with Hannah. But right. in this episode, he has a lot to say to her, especially when he's like, you know, love your dress, tell Prezra he's got great taste, you know, like, ugh.
Maybe that was the line that I'm thinking of. Tell Prezra he's, yes, Holbrook says Prezra, tell Prezra he's got great taste. Like, it feels like a reveal that those men knew each other would be fantastic.
Well, also, like, the fact that Holbrook at this time, he is still a police officer. Like, he is a cop, and he knows that Prezra, an adult man, is involved in this relationship with Arya. Like, woo!
Oh, they are not trying to hide it at all. Like, any pretense of that is completely out.
I felt like that moment was interesting just because we've always said like Prezra is much more of a predator than the show like shows him, and I felt like this was a moment that kind of nodded to that a bit.
There's some stuff here about, you know, when Arya name checks the Fitzgerald family, you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. There's a seedy underbelly here for sure.
What are your thoughts about kind of the way that the episode ends, this very merry holiday that everybody gets to have together?
I feel like it doesn't, the sentimentality of it doesn't work on me that well because of the boyfriends being there, particularly Prezra. But I think, like, if it was a thing where, like, the liars were snowed in with just each other, and the love interests weren't there, I think I would like it so much more, because like that, they're the family that we want to have stay together. And like their love interest, well, Emily's love interest will fluctuate. Everybody else's will stay the same. I just think that would have been felt more genuine to me. What are your thoughts?
I was noticing, and I don't know that I noticed this, like, the last time we talked about the episode, but after watching like the final seasons and how Emerson, like, even when we see them like more getting together, like we would see them like talking and laughing, but it would be like from a distance or outside a window, or some music would be playing, so that the writers didn't actually have to like write dialogue of them flirting or chatting or getting along. And I was noticing that like during this montage of the happy holiday, there's very little actual dialogue written that occurs between the characters. Like, most of it is just like, you know, kind of like a pantomime of this holiday while the music is playing and trying to make you like feel in the holiday spirit for them.
Yeah, it is. Kelsey was like, what do you think they're talking about? Like the actors. it is very... it's very pat, right? It's very kind of, we're supposed to fill in the details ourselves. Like, what are Paige and Prezra talking about? Like,
they're the English homework.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll have that report to you on Monday. Yeah. It is like, we do have to kind of fill in the blanks here. I don't feel like this group is the family. I feel like the liars are the family.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. I also think that A's final message to them could have been a little bit more menacing. I guess maybe this is A, because A is kind of like taking a holiday this episode. So maybe this is A being like, hey, kick your feet back, have fun. I also think the direction of everybody's faces in the last scene, everybody is doing something different with their face. There was not clear direction for that scene.
And I especially, like, as you know, I've been keeping an eye on the Rosewood blizzard throughout this episode. The blizzard that is so intense that it just kept everyone else stuck where they are. And no one could get through to their children or their parents. But when they go outside, there is not even like a footprint deep of snow in this final scene. Like, Allison has come over from her house. She's not like stumbling through snowdrifts. Like, no, there's like less than a shoe sole of snow. And the same as all the rest of the liars are standing there. And also the snow on the ground looks extremely fake.
Yeah, we could have used better blizzard work.
Yes, 100%. But I guess maybe they used all of their money on the ice ball. I kind of feel like the ice ball, because remember, like, we don't really get the Rosewood prom. Like, we just get, like, you know, they're kind of, like, running through it to, like, stalk Mona, yeah, and stalk Allison. Mostly everybody's just at the barn. This is kind of, you correct me if I'm wrong, but this is kind of like the last big Rosewood party that I feel like we get. Like, this is kind of the last point when, like, yeah, the budget is big enough to do this.
I think so, right, because you really see that budget dwindling in the last bit of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. This feels like the transition point into kind of the last saga, the last leg of the show, particularly the last kind of chunk of the show before we're going to get into the time jump stuff. And before things get, like, super dark with the dollhouse stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a fun episode. It's a very fun time. But man, it is not without its problems.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I agree with you that this is, like, not the best of the holiday. Like, it is definitely, like, the least good of the holiday episodes. But I will say that I like that they went for originality. I like that it has its own credits, where they're, like,
that is very fun.
The corpse nails, like, red and green, because of course, why not? But yeah, I mean, it was just fun to be watching an episode of PLL again, even if it was, like, one that had a lot of opportunities for some improvement, as many of them do.
I would agree. I would also challenge your comment that this is the worst of the holiday episodes, because I think World War A is the worst of the holiday episodes.
Oh, no. I was like, even though I just talked about it, I was, like, eternal sunshining it out of my mind that that was a holiday episode. But oh no, you're right.
This is the second worst.
You're right. It is not, yeah. Oof. You're right, because that terrible, the backdoor pilot
for the show that wasn't. And we're all hashtag haunted.
Caleb on that bus. Oh my goodness. Yes.
Never ending bus to nowhere.
Oh no. Yes, it's all coming back to me now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring that memory up.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a pretty good time. There are ways that it could have been a little bit more successful if they had, like, gone in different directions, but still a good time, and I'll take it. I like that we get this moment of seeing the liars happy. I feel like when you think about times that we've seen the liars be allowed to be happy, we have this part of this episode. We also have kind of the scene when everyone is leaving, like, after graduation, and they're, you know, yeah, they're all talking together. Like, what are some other, like, ones that you would, like, find notable for, like, all the liars kind of getting to have happiness at the same or similar time?
Oh God. I mean, one of the scenes that comes to mind, and this is not a particularly happy scene, is when after Arya gets, this is, like, right after Mona has been put in Radley, and Arya gets scared in the bathroom at school. And Hannah comes in and says, someday we will all have jubilation. And Spencer is like, that was a really good word, Han. But that's not even a happy moment. That's just, like, a cute moment between the liars. Oof. Yeah, there aren't many.
Yeah, there really aren't.
There aren't many. There's, like, the moment, I think in season one or maybe season two, when they realize that, like, they all have girlfriends / boyfriends. And, like, that's kind of a cute moment. But again, very small, very few and far between.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that gives me, like, a fondness for this episode, even, you know, even in spite of its faults.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. Well, do we have any more to say about the A that stole Christmas?
I do not think that we do, but this was super fun to watch again.
It was fun to revisit. If there's anything that we neglected to talk about or that you want to comment on, please, of course, send us an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram at everybodyapodcast. You can check out our Spotify. I will make a, I'm going to put this on the record, so I will actually do it, make a little holiday playlist. Because I do so love holiday music, and maybe we can think about some of the holiday songs that the Liars would like. Aria would be a fan of Carol of the Bells, I think, just for the drama of it all.
100%.
And yeah, you can send in a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. This is going to be our last episode for the year, and then we promise we will be diving into the reboot.
Yes, excited to see what that's going to be like.
Yes, we are. So until then, we hope everybody has a happy and healthy holiday season, a good end to the year, whatever kind of year it's been for you. And here's to 2024.
Yeah, take care of yourselves, everybody. And do what you can. And we'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas, bitches.